Well, I think for 2023 is life in the Spirit, and we have been moving through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Now, remember, we said that the Corinthian church is living in this tension between earthly cultural reality and a heavenly revelation of a new reality, which overlaps and intersects with our present earthly reality. And this is what we call the Spirit-filled church, the church that lives at the intersection of spiritual reality and earthly reality. And the church is supposed to be a representation of spiritual reality, but that also intersects with and relates to natural reality. And that's why these last 3 weeks we have been talking about spiritual gifts, because spiritual gifts, they're what? They're spiritual. They are a representation of spiritual reality, but they are something that we, the church, demonstrate in natural reality. So how many of you took the test? You know what your spiritual gifts are? Yeah, I got more than half of the congregation responses now. And we're going to see that in just a little bit. But I want to say, any of you that are still working on your tests, feel free. I'll just give you that part four page, and I'll just make a copy of it. I'd like to have that for my records. And then also, those of you watching online, if you just Google, what's it called again? Wagner Modified Houts Inventory Questionnaire Survey, something like that. You can take it. There's plenty of places you can take it online. And then just email me your results to Pastor Joel at springcityfellowship.com. Now, would you like to see a cumulative chart of what I have so far? And yes, those responses that were handed to me this morning, I did get them in. So this is a picture of our church. This is what we have so far. So I have 25 people responded on this survey, and you can see the highest of 25 respondents, we have 14 that say, I have the gift of service. Wow. That's awesome. And then number two, right behind that, is the gift of giving. And can I just say that because of the gifts of service and of giving, I believe that's why this church is still here. You know? We've weathered some pretty hard times. And it's those gifts of serving and giving that have been the bedrock. Can I just capitalize on your illustration there? That have been the bedrock of the church, have kept us going through hard times. And followed by gifts of giving and mercy, we are a generous church, both in our money and in our compassion. That's beautiful. And helps and hospitality, as well as pastoring and shepherding. Now, let me just distinguish between helps and service. Service are people that are like, whatever you need done, I'll do it. You know, helps is more of a one-on-one thing. It's ministering individual to individual. Here, let me come alongside you and help you with that. So helps, hospitality, as well as pastoring and shepherding. Now, that scoring high, that makes sense, because when we did our vision exploration, one of the things that we said is people walk in this door and they sense the love of God. They sense that this is a family that loves one another, and it reflects in our spiritual gifts as a congregation. Leadership, administration, wisdom, I think these reflect that we have a more mature congregation that has experience, that has wisdom, that knows what to do. And exhortation and teaching tells me that we are able to instruct in the things of God. And then I also noticed that faith and intercession and discerning of spirits, that makes the list too. We have a, as well as prophecy, we have a congregation that is aware of and capable of representing spiritual reality. And the gift of faith, oh yeah, I just mentioned that. And then after what I shared last week, I'm also glad to see that we have our evangelists too. And that is really important. So why is all of this important? Well, because church is not a spectator sport. The church is a team sport, and I'm just one player. And church doesn't revolve around me. It doesn't revolve around us. Actually, last week, you know, when the worship is going on and the Spirit of God is present, that's when I remind myself as a pastor, this isn't about me, right? God, this is about you. Lord, when you're operating here, you're welcome to take over. You're welcome to do what you want to do. I'm just here to make sure that it's done in a way that keeps everybody together. So last week we talked a little bit about how spiritual gifts operate, and we only got partway through that message, so I'm essentially finishing up that message today. If you notice the insert in your bulletin, you'll notice that the first third is completed because that's the part I preached last week. For those of you watching online, you may have noticed that you have the same e-bulletin. Well, that's because we're starting down at point two today. So what I was going to do this week was I was going to look at the list of spiritual gifts that people had turned in and pick maybe the top six or eight of those and look at them more specifically. But you can also do that because in your booklets or online where you took the test, there's probably an explanation of the different gifts and what they mean and how they operate, so you can review that on your own. But let's finish what we started last week. So our scripture is 1 Corinthians 12, verses 27 to 31. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administrating in various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. So last week we spent most of our time talking about apostles and prophets, the seemingly opposites that work together to build the kingdom of God. And I hope you got a picture that the successful operation of spiritual gifts is not just about you using your own gifts, but you using your gifts in a way that makes room for other gifts that are different from yours. That's how the exercise of spiritual gifts is supposed to work. Not just me operating in my gift, but me operating in my gift, but making room for your gift and working and operating together. So what are we supposed to do with that information? Well, let me just answer a few of the feedbacks that I had. First of all, this is not to pigeonhole people, okay? That's one concern that I heard, and it's a valid concern. Sometimes people are like, well, you know, taking these tests and it just kind of pigeonholes people. It's like, well, this is what you are, and this is what you are. And it's like, yeah, but some of you, I noticed, well, first of all, they had not only the top three, but then they had a subordinate three. So I was getting six responses from a lot of people. And then there were some people that said, well, I have so many ties. And then there were some people that had seven or eight gifts that were all like 12 and above. Yes, we have some very gifted people in this congregation. And you know, you may not be all of those things at any one time. And I shared last week about how at different times in my life, I have functioned in different gifts because that was the phase or the season that God had me in. So it's not to say that you can only be this or you can only be that. We want to make room for what God is doing also in times and seasons. The idea of spiritual gifts is not only to say this is what you are, but to say this is what we are. And I think that that's where a composite picture of the church is really helpful. It was actually exciting for me as I began to get these responses back, and I'm putting them into my spreadsheet. And notice, not all of the gifts that are on the test were represented there, but I just began putting the ones in the spreadsheet as they appeared, and the same ones began appearing over and over and over again. I think that's interesting because it doesn't just say who we are as individuals, but who we are as a church. Somebody else said to me, I feel like I'm bragging. You know, sharing my results with you, it's like, is this bragging? You know, I don't think so. I think you should feel good about your gifts. And there's nothing wrong with knowing that you're good at something. But let's take it to the next level. How does you being good at what you're good at make other people better? And that brings us to point two on the outline. Multiplication is essential. Multiplication is essential. Let's go to Ephesians 4, verses 11 to 13. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. What is the goal of the church? Well, it's to be Christ's body, his representatives on earth. It's to bring everything under the lordship of Jesus Christ. You've heard me preach this over and over again because it's something I'm passionate about. Ephesians 1, verse 10. As a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, in Jesus Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. That's the big idea. That's what God is doing in all of time and eternity. And what is our role in this? Well, we talked about it when we talked about Genesis and creation. It's to fill the earth with God's goodness, eventually restoring creation, becoming new creation. So when we are all working together properly and in order, that's what should be happening. That is the goal. And all of our spiritual gifts are working towards that goal of establishing Jesus' lordship and restoring his creation. So here's the first fill in the blank for today. It's in the second part of your outline. Proper exercise of gifts leads to unity. Unity. Whenever you have part of the body doing your own thing, remember I did this last week, you know? Whenever you have part of the body that's just kind of doing their own thing, you got a problem, right? Whenever your part of the body is just working independent of everybody else, that's a problem. The American church has a unity problem. Do you agree? We have over 40,000 different denominations in America. And most people drive by a dozen churches on their way to church. Even in our churches, we specialize. We all specialize. You know why? Because we can't all do everything equally well. We spend time learning to do some things well. And you know, I do believe that that is one of the reasons why people will choose one church over another, because we are not just looking for a church, we are looking for a church in which we feel like we fit. In other words, in which our gifts will be recognized and be able to be used. This week, something special happened. We gathered around the flagpole in Royersford. Yes, that's an actual picture. We pulled that off of Facebook. We gathered around the flagpole in Royersford to pray for our nation. And one thing I really appreciate about this Spring City Royersford area is that there is great relationship and cooperation, at least among some of the churches. And having a national day of prayer is not just so that we remember to pray for our nation once a year, because we should be doing that every day, right? But it's a time for churches to come together and pray for unity. And I think that is really powerful in a symbolic way when we as churches come together and pray for unity. That is what is going to change our nation. But what if, as a regional church, we valued and appreciated the unique gifts that individual churches bring to the body of Christ? I told you the story, I think, in a previous sermon. I was gathering with a group of Netzer, which is Pottstown area, but includes this area, for prayer, and we were praying for one another, and one of the local pastors said, you know, Joel, your gift at Spring City is you guys just have such a gift of bringing healing and restoration to the body of Christ. And your intercession, the way you guys pray, he said, you know, that's what you contribute to the churches, the local, regional body of Christ. And I thought, wow, what a beautiful affirmation. You know, we have a part in this. You know, there are other churches that are bigger. There are other churches that can do better outreaches, but we have a part that we do well too. And that's affirming. What if we began to realize that there's a purpose for our differences, and that our differences can be a gift to one another and to the world? What if we began to work in harmony rather than in competition? I think these are some questions to answer. Let me just mention right now another event coming up, the Come to the Altar event, which is happening Memorial Day weekend. It also happens to be Pentecost Sunday. It's going to be down at the convention center. But there are buses going from Pottstown here. If you're interested in going, just I can forward you the message that I got from Netzer. They are organizing some buses to go down. But this is going to be a regional prayer gathering. No, this is not a preaching or a worship event. This is a time to get together and pray and intercede. And I've already heard the director of this conference say that we're going to be spending the first hour in repentance for the division that has happened among our churches. You know, we may be very divided right now, but God is doing something. He's doing what he said in Ephesians 1:10. He is bringing his body together under one head, under Jesus Christ. Here's the next marker, the next fill in the blank. A proper understanding of gifts leads to maturity. Leads to maturity. A healthy body will grow, right? You expect your kids to grow. What do, Jason? You mark it on a doorway or something like that, you know? They're growing too fast for that, right? You buy clothes, they wear them once, and then they're out. Yeah. Well, healthy cells reproduce. Healthy people grow. Physical maturity, adulthood, is when a person is prepared both physically, emotionally, and psychologically, ready to leave home and start a family on their own. You didn't get to that part yet. I did. You know, we had our first wedding last year, and it's like, wow, this is powerful. You know, the kids are growing up. Not only are they leaving home, but they're starting their own families. And we had a... I was talking with John and Sandy about this week because we were out to dinner and we were arguing about who was going to pick up the check. Well, Carrie and I were out with Jonas and Sorelli's, who just got married last year, and we had dinner with them, and at the end of the dinner, Jonas picked up the check. And we were like, wow, you know, as parents, you've reached that milestone when your kids want to pick up the check. You know, you'll get there. You know, that's maturity. You see, you're an adult now. You're not dependent on me anymore. As a matter of fact, you're in a position now to bless me back. That's a powerful and important milestone. You know, not everyone leaves home and starts their family, but mature people experience personal growth, and we expect them to contribute to the family. And we expect them to contribute to society and to the community at large. That's part of being an adult, when you're no longer just receiving, but you're contributing. That's maturity. And a healthy church is also going to produce growth. You know, I want to see our church grow. And I know this is a touchy subject because some of you just got here and I know you just want to keep the church just the way it is, right? But it's not that I want to have a big church, because that's not what it's about at all. But it's just that healthy things grow. So if we are healthy as a church, we are going to be growing, right? That doesn't mean we have to be a mega church. There are other ways to measure growth. Not all growth has to do with numbers. Sending people out like we did last week, that's a measurement of growth. And that's one that I get really excited about. I want to see us find ways to celebrate that. When we are sending people out into the mission field, even helping to support and grow other churches. But growth is also measured by the testimonies of what God is doing in people's lives. And I love it that we're sharing testimonies in Sunday school, because that is a measurement of growth. Here's another measurement. How far back do you have to think to remember a story of God's miraculous intervention in your life? You see, not just having testimonies, but having fresh testimonies. Things that God is doing today and that he's continuing to do. Those are measurements of growth. So people are not just being added to the church. That's one measurement of growth. But everyone who is in the church is getting better, becoming healthier, becoming more of who God created us to be. That's another measurement of growth. And when the church is healthy and working together, I believe that people are coming to Jesus. The evangelists are bringing them in. The pastors and exhorters are encouraging them. People with gifts of mercy and hospitality are coming around them, embracing them, making them feel loved. And then, of course, we have the prophets, and those with discerning of spirits are like, you know, you really need to get cleaned up. And the teachers then are training them, and the apostles and the pastors are sending them out. But part of maturity is the ability to reproduce. Mature humans create other humans. So think about that when you think about your gifts. Maturity recreates what you are. Each of us as leaders should be recreating what we are in those who are following us. So mature apostles don't just break new ground, but they're raising up spiritual sons and daughters who are also breaking new ground. Mature evangelists don't just lead people to Christ, but they lead people to Christ who lead other people to Christ. You see how that works? Mature prophets don't just prophesy, but they activate other people in the gift of prophecy. Mature teachers train up other teachers. Mature pastors release other people into ministry. And part of maturing in our gifts is learning to use them in a way, but learning how to model them and mentor other people in those gifts. And here's the next fill in the blank. Proper alignment of gifts leads to completion. Fullness, Paul calls it. Ephesians 4:12, in this time in the Amplified Bible. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of the saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward the building up of Christ's body, the church. So the goal is the fullness of Christ. Fullness means to be complete. Is that even possible? You know, in our American Western way of thinking, when we think of complete, we think of perfection. But I can tell you, after having studied for many years, that that is a very American way of thinking about things. The biblical idea is really that of maturity, what we talked about. James chapter 1, 2-4, he says this, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, and let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking in anything." So this is how James describes fullness. It's just the end of that process of allowing trials and tribulations to do their work so that whatever is lacking, you discover it and begin to grow in that area. So what does mature and complete look like? Well, it looks like Jesus. Completion. How can I illustrate this? Actually, I think one of the best illustrations is like a symphony. A full complement of instruments. You know, you have your brass section, you have your woodwinds, you have your strings, and your percussion, and everyone is doing their part to follow one conductor. Any of you ever play in a symphony? Maybe band or, yeah. You're all doing your part, but you're kind of keeping the conductor in your peripheral vision so that you stay on beat, because visual light travels faster than sound. So in order for you to stay on tempo, you have to be watching, doing your part, but following one conductor. Isn't that a picture of the body of Christ? And when we have all of the parts together, each filling their part of the sound, completion is that fullness of sound when you have each part doing its work. So when the body of Christ is functioning properly, each one doing their part, we look like Jesus, except we look like the fullness of Jesus. Bigger, more diverse, filling the whole earth with all of the goodness and the glory and the beauty of God. That's the vision. That's the goal of spiritual gifts. You see, the focus is not on me and my gift. The focus is on me knowing my part so I can do my part, so we can have the fullness of the gifts operating Discovering your gift is a means to an end. And that brings me into the last section. Participation is universal. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 to 13. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, we are all made to drink of one spirit. So the key to spiritual gifts, according to Paul, is not just that we individually discover them, but that we corporately share them. That's right. Gifts are meant to be shared. So here's the next fill in the blank. Everybody has a part to play. Everybody has a part to play. Have you ever heard of a BHAG? B-H-A-G. BHAG. It stands for Big Hairy Audacious Goal. The term was popularized by the writer Jim Collins in his best-selling book, Built to Last, and he talks about the moon landing as being an example of a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal that is so daring that it is compelling. And people buy into a goal like that because they know that it's bigger than any one person. It's going to take everyone to be able to complete it. You know, if spiritual gifts are not exciting, maybe it's because we're thinking too small. You know, if we're just thinking about doing church, if all the imagination that we have is just for filling the roles that we already have, like, for example, we already have a pastor, we already have a worship leader, we already have a Sunday school teacher, what more could we want? We have everything we need to have church. Really? Is that all we do? Just fill slots with people as we have a need? That's thinking small. But what if we could think bigger? What if some of you have a gift and it fits a role that doesn't exist yet? Can we make room for that? Can we make room for gifts and ministries that don't yet exist? What if it's not just about church? What if it's about transforming our community, our city, our region? What if it's not just about winning the lost? What if it's about, for example, creating businesses that really serve the community and that meet real needs? Can God work through business? Sure, He can. What if it's about tackling real issues like addiction, homelessness, poverty, or unwanted pregnancy? The church can't do all of those things. We need to think outside of the church to be able to meet some of those needs. Who's going to do that? What if it's not just about our jobs or our official roles? What if we saw our relationships as influence? Bernice, you cut hair. You ever minister to somebody while you're cutting their hair? Yeah. A chance to make other people's lives better? What if we dared to believe that God might just use our gifts to elevate us to positions of influence? I know Pastor Mark prays that one of his students at his orphanage would someday become president of India. Now there's a BHAG for you. Are you getting a bigger vision? You see what a big, hairy, audacious goal really is. Here's the next fill in the blank. Everyone is a part of the body. So when you think about a huge goal, when you think about a BHAG, a big, hairy, audacious goal, it's one that you can't do on your own. I mean, if you could do it on your own, it wouldn't be a big, hairy, audacious goal. The fact that you can't do it is what makes it a BHAG, right? A goal like that is broken down into smaller, achievable steps. And the point is to know who you are, where you fit, and what your next step is. And the good news is that you don't have to know it all. And you don't have to figure it all out on your own. That is why we are in a body. Let's start with the apostles. Remember we said last week, the apostles are always thinking, what is God doing? What is the vision, right? Here at Spring City Fellowship, our vision is to encounter God's transforming love. And we have four R's, four ways that we do that: by respond, restore, release, and relate. There it is. There's the vision. That's what we're about. So then we get the prophets. We get the prophetic voice. What is God saying? So let's hear the prophetic voices as they guide us towards specific ways that we can do that. And let's be attuned to each other and what God is doing in each of us to both encourage and to be encouraged. So as a pastor, as a visionary, after casting the vision, what do? I watch what God is doing in the body. And how is God moving different parts of the body in response to that? And I just try to attune myself to what God is doing so that I can encourage that. We're all growing. We're all in a process. And here's the thing. I can't tell everyone what to do. I can't define it all for you, because if we try to do church that way, then you are going to be limited to what this brain can think of and imagine. Do you want to be limited by this? But if we as the body are all functioning in our gifts, well then, it's multiplied by all of you. And what all of you can hear and see and imagine, and hopefully this brain is flexible enough to recognize and go with that. That's how a small church can have a big impact. Because it's not just down to what I can think of or what I can imagine, but it's all of you, and not just all of you, but all of you multiplied by your spheres of influence. Think about that. Here's the last fill in the blank. Everyone partakes of the same spirit. Okay, see what I did there? Every fill in the blank in this section has been the part. That's because I want to drill it into you. Part, part, part. Think in terms of parts. 1 Corinthians 13:9 says, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part." Guess what? The fullness of God is made up of parts. And we each have a part. And that means that none of us are the fullness except that we have that in each other. We are not limited by our own resources. The fullness comes from being corporate, being members of each other. So what's yours is mine, and what's mine is yours. And you functioning in your gift is to my benefit, and me functioning in my gift is to your benefit. And all of our gifts are not only for each other, but for the world that does not yet know Jesus. John 3:34 says this, "For he whom God has sent," this is talking about Jesus, "utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure." talk about the fullness of Christ. Jesus gives the Spirit without measure. That's fullness. We all want more of the Holy Spirit, right? If I had an altar call today and said, who wants more of the Holy Spirit? I bet half the room would be up here, right? Because we all want more of the Holy Spirit. He had it because he was the very relation, or he was the very revelation of God. But we are the body of Christ on earth, that same revelation of Christ today. And I think that perhaps the biggest limitation of the church today is that we all want more of God, but we don't realize that that means more of each other as well. Think about it. We are the fullness of Christ together. Each of us being a part of each other. And when we are together in unity, each of us using our gifts and doing our part, that's where there is a greater anointing of the fullness of the Spirit. And the fullness of the Spirit, that Spirit without measure, it increases through our interconnectedness. And Pat, if you'd come. I'm going to wrap this up with some questions for reflection. So first of all, your assignment was to take a booklet or to fill out the questionnaire online. I still have a few of these back there. You're welcome to take them. Send me your results, and I'll compile them. If there's a significant difference in the results, maybe I'll share that again next week. But one thing I would like to do is, you know, we have a membership packet for people who are joining the church to show what our vision is, what we're all about. You know, for those who become members that haven't been part of this, I want to give them one of these so that everybody from here on out who joins the church, we also find out what their gifts are. And we continue to monitor that and see what God is doing in the church. Not just casting vision, but seeing how God is bringing people to help shape that vision and fulfill that vision. Number two, when you know your spiritual gifts, I want you to think not only about how to use your gift, but think about how your gift fits together with others. It's interesting for couples to recognize your differences. And how does your gift fit with your spouse's gift? How do you complement each other? Or think about your family or your friends. How does your different gifts complement one another? And then think about this. How might your spiritual gift contribute to the vision of this church? And then number three, now I want you to think outside the box. I want you to think even outside the church. What are the needs in our community? What are the needs around you that resonate with your heart? Things that break God's heart, that resonate with your heart. What is God doing, or what is God wanting to do in the world that's bigger than any one of us? You may say to yourself, well, I see a need, but what can I do? I'm just one person. Well, that's your BHAG. Let's bring it together. Bring it to the body. And let's pray. Let's watch the Holy Spirit lead as you together with others, as we come together as parts to fulfill what God wants to do in the world, to accomplish his fullness. Let's stand and worship as we think about these things.